Turn in your Bibles with me this morning to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. Today is June 9th, 2013, and this weekend, the 8th and the 9th, all across the United States and many of the major metropolitan areas, there have been gay and lesbian pride festivals going on. In cities like Detroit, Los Angeles, Washington, D.C., Philadelphia, Indianapolis, San Francisco, and many, many others. There's also a group called Alliance Defending Freedom who have asked churches across the America to proclaim what they have dubbed Pulpit Freedom Sunday, in which they encourage churches to carry out a twofold purpose, to call for renewed commitment to strengthening marriages and to call out elected officials to either praise them or correct their opposition to marriage. We as a church did not sign on to that charge. However, I do think it is important that we lift up God's design for marriage. Our elders here at Faith Bible Church believe that we have a higher calling than just political activism. We definitely see the need for Christians to be salt and light within the political realm and encourage people to take part in voting and supporting those who have an agenda consistent with Christian belief. However, our calling as a church is a higher calling than political activism. We are called to proclaim truth and to live out truth. We are called to proclaim truth in this whole area of the gay and lesbian lifestyle, that those who are practicing a gay and lesbian lifestyle are practicing what the Bible clearly calls sin. For example, in Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22, Romans chapter 1, verses 26 and 27 clearly state that to practice a gay and lesbian lifestyle is sin in God's eyes. We are also to proclaim God's truth as it pertains to His design for marriage. God's grace offers those in the gay and lesbian community a message of redemption and hope. That the gospel, the truth that Jesus Christ is God, that He died on the cross as payment for sin and rose again from the dead, the gospel is a message of hope and redemption. And God's design for marriage is one of fulfillment and joy. You see, God's parameters are not set to rob people of happiness, but rather to enable people to experience life as God designed it. And to members of the gay and lesbian community, we have more to offer than condemnation. We have a message of hope. I don't spend much time in front of a mirror. In fact, my wife kind of makes fun of me if she ever catches me trying to comb my hair. Her point is, what is the point? There's nothing there to comb. But maybe just to humor myself once in a while, I will take out a brush and try to remember yesteryear. Barbara has a little circular mirror affixed to our bathroom mirror that she uses, I guess, to apply makeup. And it's rather a scary thing if you happen to do a quick glance across the mirror and your eye happens to catch that little round one, it's pretty scary. Because it blows up all of your imperfections and you actually see reality. The stuff that you really don't want to think about. One of the things that happens too often to Christians is that often Christians don't view people through the lens of grace because we lose sight of how much we need grace ourselves. We will not be gracious with others until we acknowledge how much we need grace. We tend not to show love and demonstrate grace to people until we recognize how much our sin separated us from God, how much we were totally dependent on what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross, and how much we deserve condemnation but found hope in the person of Jesus Christ. And when we do that, when we finally, in a sense, look at ourselves close up in the mirror, then we're able to view others through the lens of grace. This morning, our focus is not going to be on what is not God's design, but rather, we want to focus in on what God's design for marriage is. So we want to look in Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2 for God's threefold purpose for marriage, as we find right at the beginning of our Bibles in the book of Genesis. And to begin, I encourage you to look in Genesis chapter 2, verses 18 through 25, as we are going to note God's design for marriage. And the first principle, the first of this threefold purpose for marriage as shown to us in the book of Genesis, is that God's design for marriage is for husbands and wives to mutually complete one another. To mutually complete one another. Notice with me in verses 19 and 20 that God has assigned Adam a responsibility. He is to be serving God. And God created Adam with both the capacity to serve Him, worshiping Him, and to have fellowship with Him. And so we find in verses 19 and 20, Adam is naming the animals that God has created. It says, out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the sky and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called the living creature, that was its name. And the man gave names to all the cattle and to the birds of the sky and every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper suitable for him. So Adam is carrying out God's task. He is naming these animals, but it becomes apparent that there is not one of the same essence as Adam is. As he's naming these animals, there is the sense that something's missing. In fact, verse 18 summarizes it this way. The Lord God said, it's not good for the man to be alone. Remember the book of Genesis in chapter 1? Over and over we have this repeated phrase, and it was good, and it was good, and it was good, and it was good. And then we come to chapter 2, verse 18, and it says, it's not good. It's not good for the man to be alone. So God said, I will make him a helper suitable for him. Can you imagine a young bride in today's world going to work, talking about how she's so excited for her upcoming wedding, and then to exclaim, I'm really looking forward to being my husband's helper? Wouldn't go over so good, would it? In our culture, we would associate things with that word or that title that is not being talked about here at all. The word helper here is not a subservient idea. The word is actually talking about one coming alongside of another and completing where that one is lacking. God uses the Hebrew word translated helper here 5 times in the book of Psalms to refer to himself as Israel's helper, coming alongside and helping to complete Israel where they lacked. So God here is saying, I will make a completer, one to bring completeness to man. I will make a helper suitable for him. The word suitable, the Hebrew word, carries the idea of the same essence, of the same kind. So here, God recognizes man's need for a counterpart, one to complete man. And we come down at the end in verse 25, and it says, and the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. Sin has not entered the picture. It is God's ideal. Husband and wife mutually completing one another. Many of you who are golfers will recognize the name Carsten Solheim. Carsten Solheim founded Ping Golf. And Carsten Solheim was a friend of my father's when my parents lived in Arizona. And they would get together. Carsten Solheim actually was a supporter of the college where my father was president there in the Phoenix area. And if you are a golfer, you'd say, hey, I'd like to have a set of Ping golf clubs. But wouldn't it be neat to have Carsten Solheim, who's now passed away, but to have Carsten Solheim take you by the hand and say, I want you to come meet the head designer for Ping golf. And I'm going to have him look at your swing and look how you are made, and I'm going to have him design a set of Ping clubs exactly made for you. And then I'm going to autograph each one. We'd say, hey, that's pretty special. Uniquely designed clubs just for you. And what God did here is even more special than that. Because God provided uniquely designed woman just for man. Now notice with me in the text, in verse 22, it says, the Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man and brought her to the man. In other words, God presented Adam with his bride. God brought woman to Adam and said, here she is. This is my best for you. And then in verse 24, it says, the man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of the man. One of my professors at Dallas Seminary loosely translated the Hebrew here to say, baby, where have you been all my life? And that's kind of the essence of Adam's response. In other words, God said, man, here is your wife. And man said, yes, I like her, and accepted her. Now there's an important principle here for those who are married. And that is this. Your spouse is God's unique provision for you. The one whom you are to accept as God's unique provision for you. God provided your spouse, and as your spouse, we are to recognize our spouse as God's provision to us. This is God's best for me. Those of you who are here this morning and are single, maybe some of you would like to be married. That hasn't happened yet. The Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 that singleness is a blessing. In fact, in chapter 7, verse 7, the Apostle Paul says, I wish everybody was like me, not married. In verses 32 to 35 of 1 Corinthians 7, the Apostle Paul says the single person can solely devote themselves to serving Jesus Christ and don't have to have their time and their heart and their resources divided in also trying to care for the needs of a spouse. But not all people can accept that, Paul says. So, in your singleness, we serve the Lord. In marriage, we're going to see this morning, we are created to be serving the Lord in oneness. So the first purpose of marriage we wanted to see here this morning in Genesis chapter 2 is that God's design for marriage is for husband and wife to mutually complete one another. Where husband is weak, wife's strengths come along and provide completeness. Where wife is weak, husband comes along, provides completeness. And as we'll see in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, the two individuals become one indivisible, indissoluble unit. Mutually completing one another. Now for our next principle, we'll just turn back to Genesis chapter 1, and we'll see that God's design for husband and wife is not only to mutually complete one another, but also to reproduce godly children. Now you may be here this morning and have never been blessed with children, and we see example after example in the scriptures of couples who have not been able to have children, but God's general principle is for a man and a woman to reproduce godly children. And by the way, we're going to note, and we see it here at Faith Bible Church, just because a couple has not had biological children does not mean that they don't have a vital role in building in to a godly heritage. And here, God says in chapter 1, verse 28, it says, and God bless them. And now in the book of Genesis, when it talks about God's blessing, it's referring to God's enriching or God's making something or someone fertile. And here it says, God blessed them, man and woman, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. Be fruitful and multiply. God's design for marriage is for husband and wife to reproduce godly children. And from this point forward, for example, you go to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6 verses 1 through 7, we see the ideal is for husbands and wives to be raising up children who honor the Lord. In the New Testament, for children to come to that point where they put their trust in the person of Jesus Christ and live for Him. Raising up a godly heritage. When my wife Barbara and I lived in Dallas, Texas, we had some friends who were much wealthier than we. We were in graduate school and living on a budget. Our friends used to go out for $750 dinners. And one evening we were with them and they were talking about the fact that they had decided not to have children until they could give them everything they could want. Great parenting wisdom there. So we're going to wait to have children until we can shower them with everything that they could ask for. That was their philosophy. God's design is that a husband and a wife, as long within their ability, to have godly offspring. And actually in doing that, husbands and wives are, in a sense, performing an act of worship to God, in service to God, because it's the same thing that God's all about. Think about the fact, and we're going to talk about it in a moment, we are created in God's image. We are His image bearers. We are representing God. God is a creator of life. He has charged husbands and wives to create life. And so as a husband and wife have children, they are all about doing what God is doing. They are all about obeying this command of procreation here in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. And for a Christian couple, a husband and wife who are followers of Jesus, there is really not an option to say, well, we just don't want to have children because they cost a lot of money. Being the dad of three sons who's finally seen two of them get married, I can assent to that truth. Yes, they cost a lot of money. Or for a parent to say, well, look at this world in which we live. I don't think we should even try to bring children into this mess. God's call is for a husband and wife to raise up godly children. So purpose number one for marriage is for husband and wife to mutually complete one another. Purpose number two, as we've listed it, is for husband and wife to reproduce godly children. And finally, we come to Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27 for purpose number three, which is this. God's design for marriage is for husband and wife to mirror His image. Notice with me Genesis 1:26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." And God created man in His own image. In the image of God He created him. Male and female He created them. Now, God the Father is spirit. So we cannot see God. That's not what it means here in verse 26 when it says, let us make man in our image. What it's talking about is actually sharing in the nature, in the attributes of God. In a limited way, we, just as God has moral abilities and capabilities of knowing right and wrong, so also we have moral abilities. Just as God has emotion and a will, we have emotion and will. We have the ability, being created in His image, to be in fellowship with Him. And we saw in verse 28 that we have been charged to be God's representatives on earth. It says that we are to subdue it and rule over God's creation. We are God's representatives as His image bearers. Thus, we are to be reflecting the image of God. Now, think about this. God exists in a Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that's hard for us to get around. And the fact that we serve one God who exists in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, it says, "For this cause, a man and his wife, a man shall leave his father and his mother, shall cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh," or one unit. Two separate people become one unit. So marriage reflects actually the Godhead. As a husband and wife who are two separate entities come together as one entity, we reflect in oneness the oneness between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now the question for you, the question for me is, how am I doing reflecting the image of God? How are we in our marriage doing reflecting the oneness of the Godhead? My wife Barbara and I, one of the things that we enjoy doing is just watching people. It is fun. When we go on a trip, we tend not to go to museums and things like that. Sometimes we'll just sit in a little coffee shop or sit outside and just watch people. And I'll say, that guy's an engineer. Or that guy lives by himself and has 10 cats or whatever. We'll just like make up little scenarios about people. My wife's favorite thing to do is go to pastors' conferences and pick out all the California guys. And she's really good at it. We were at Hy-Vee one day, our local grocery store, and standing in line, and there's a couple, like two couples ahead of us, like 45 years old, just gazing into each other's eyes. They were totally oblivious to anything going on around them, just looking like they were deeply in love. And I turned to my wife and said, "They're not married." And Barbara goes, "Shh." And I got the evil eye because she knew them. And she says, "Be quiet. I know them. And they're not married." You know, we're almost married 30 years and I knew that look. So she got my attention to not talk too loudly, but yes, you're right, they're not married. I mean, you've been married 30 years, you knew that look, and I knew they're not married. Just lovesick. We have a couple that just moved into our neighborhood, probably married about 35 years, and I've watched them now over about 2 years, and it's amazing to watch them as they are out working and on their property. It just seems like they are a unit. They just are out there together and they're enjoying their time together, working hard. We'll see them in the evenings walking. We live kind of out on the edge of, kind of in the county, kind of out on the country, and there's lots of places to go for walks. And we'll see them out walking a mile away from the house, still holding hands. And I look at them and I know, because I visited with them, that they're followers of Jesus Christ. And I look at them over the long haul, and I can say they are reflecting God in their relationship. Not just in a little microcosm, and this is like a little 30-second interval. As I watch them as my neighbor, they reflect the Lord in their relationship. And then one of the questions is important for us to ask, if we are married here today, or if you're contemplating getting married, is, am I reflecting God? Are we as a couple reflecting God? God has called us to oneness. Two people that were individuals coming together in an indissoluble unit. Are we reflecting God and His image in our oneness? We started out this morning by saying that it's important for churches to renew our commitment to marriage. And that's where we are as elders here at Faith Bible Church. That's why we have partnered with Together Marriage Mentoring here at Faith Bible. Because it is so important for us as husbands and wives in the everyday living out of our relationships to be thinking through the grid of, am I actually reflecting Christ in my relationship? And two of the most common things where we fall down are our communication together as husband and wife and our conflict resolution. You know, are we ever going through periods of time where conflict builds a wall between us as husband and wife, and we find that that actually carries into the next day so that we're still not communicating well 24 hours later? That's not reflecting oneness that God has designed marriage to have. Now, we just got done with a series here at Faith Bible Church called Christian Life 101, talking about what our lives should look like as Christians. And we were very clear that the only way to live out the Christian life is under the empowerment of the Spirit of God. We are totally dependent on the Holy Spirit and His ability to help us. But we also need to be quickly and readily able to say that we need practical help sometimes in our Christian life. We need help sometimes if you didn't grow up in a home where you knew how to, or you had modeled for you how to resolve conflict, or you didn't grow up in a home where your mom and dad communicated with each other. you may actually need some very practical help under the Spirit's control of helping you learn how to actually listen to your spouse or talk with your spouse or how to work through conflict. You see, all of this comes down to God's design for our marriage. And that's why here at Faith Bible Church, we are committed to offering practical help for brothers and sisters in the Lord to come alongside and say, how can we help each other reflect God? Under the empowerment of the Spirit of God, how can we come alongside of each other? And so if you start looking at your relationship and say, am I really reflecting the Lord? Are we as a couple reflecting the Lord? Does others see us? Do they see Christ in us? And if you're saying, you know what? We could use a checkup. We could use some help. I want to encourage you to connect with a mentor couple here at Faith Bible Church. And out in the foyer, we have information out in the foyer how you can connect with a mentor couple and just take an opportunity in very practical ways to maybe improve the oneness of your relationship. You see, as a church, we have more to offer our community and our culture than just political activism. We have God's model for marriage. And it's a model that is not punitive. It's redemptive. We've got a great model because it's God's model. And God's model, God's parameters are always the best. Instead of a message of just condemnation, we have a message of grace. We have a message of hope in the person of Jesus Christ who loved us so much that he sent us, so that he came to the cross for us. The Father sending the Son who took on humanity and the Son living a sinless life here on earth so that he could die in our stead. And rose from the dead, proving that he is God. And through faith in him, we can have forgiveness of sin. And when Christ comes into a relationship, that relationship can be changed because Christ coming into a life brings redemption. It purchases us out of bondage to sin. And we're actually able and equipped to start reflecting God. And in marriage, when a husband and wife have Christ at the center and start growing in oneness, that reflection of God is like a bright light in a dark place sometimes. You see, we have a message that is one of hope and restoration and grace. And that message is God's design. His design for our salvation, his design for our marriages. And we've been reminded this morning that God's design for marriage is that husband and wife would mutually complete one another, would multiply godly children, and would reflect God's image. Father, I thank you for Genesis chapters 1 and 2 and the foundational truth upon which the rest of the scriptures build. Help us as a church family to continually be lifting up marriage, not only in word, but as we live it out. And Father, as couples who are married currently at Faith Bible Church, help us as individual couples to reflect and to analyze and to think through the question, are we reflecting the image of God in our relationship as husbands and wives? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.